Hey everybody, Naive No More. It is Pride Month, and we talk about how liberation movements might start from a good place, but they do not end up in a good place. I talk about how I was tricked personally. I think a lot of you are in the same kind of seat that I'm in when it comes to this, the kind of the same stage of life. People that have listened to this conversation already have been given very favorable feedback to this episode, so make sure you listen to it. Spent some time preparing for it. We definitely talked about a topic that you're not supposed to talk about, which is Pride Month, and we do it, I think, in a thoughtful, reasonable, prudent, and applicable way. I would love your feedback on this episode, freedom@charliekirk.com. Did some extra research and some extra reflection, just kind of coming into this episode. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Give us a gift of any amount, and you guys get your copy of The Conservative Response to the Great Reset, tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. If you are a high school student or a college student and you hear my voice right now, stop what you're doing. Go to tpusa.com and fill out a form to start a high school or college chapter today. We want to support you. We have field staff all across America. We have the materials, the training to be able to help you be successful and a great leader. So we want to help you with that. Our educational movement is growing. Go to tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. Okay, so today marks the first day of something. It is the first day of LGBTQ plus Pride Month. Did I get all the letters? Did I do okay? Good. Now, Connor says I missed some of them. Did I? There's an I? Where's the I? What does the I stand for? So if you're as confused as I am, it's for Indigenous. Indigenous is now part of that coalition? With LGBTQIA. I stand corrected. No. It's for intersex, not Indigenous. It's not Indigenous. That's a whole different coalition. Okay, it's intersex. So it's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, and asexual. So this could be best demonstrated by what is called the gender unicorn, which is used in a lot of schools to try to teach children kind of how they feel sexually. And so look, I'll be very honest. As I grew up in America and as I grew up in the conservative movement, I didn't really think twice about Pride Month or June. I mean, I was never quite a fan, obviously, but I wasn't against it. I was like, whatever, just do you. It's kind of a libertarian mindset, right? Kind of, you do what you need to do, and I'll do what I need to do, and it's not my business. And that was, I think, the consensus amongst a lot of Americans. In fact, I believe that is still the consensus amongst a lot of Americans. But in recent years, it seems as if the liberation movements that we have grown so accustomed to have changed from just kind of live and let live to, if you do not subscribe or agree with my viewpoint, if you do not allow me to teach your children, if you do not allow me to run your government in a certain way, then I'm going to punish you, I'm going to mock you, I'm going to ridicule you, you're going to have to get in the line. And so today is the first day of Pride Month. This is going to be 30 plus days of this. And it's more than just kind of an expression of gender sexuality, which in and of itself is why you need a whole month dedicated towards your own particular gender sexuality is really kind of a mystery to me, I'll be very honest. But putting that aside, that's not anything I'm going to overly emphasize or criticize. It is now metamorphosized and transitioned from something that is, I'm going to, we want equal respect or we want marriage equality, to now it's almost an evangelistic enterprise where the focus to bring forward these ideas into the military, into our schools with children, is unmatched and completely unprecedented. And I think a lot of you are probably in the same boat that I'm in, where you grew up with some friends and family members and with coworkers that are gay and they're decent, good people and they love their country and they do a wonderful job as far as their work. And I think a lot of people are in the same position I'm in, where you grew up in a country where you want everyone to be treated with dignity and respect. You don't want anyone to be, you know, kind of talked down to or stereotyped. I don't want to live in that country, and you don't either. And so that was kind of an anchor for a lot of us, understandably. But I think that kind of good intention has been completely and totally taken advantage of now, where that good intention that a lot of us have that anchors us, that are not part of that sexual identity community, has now turned into, we're going to teach your children, we're going to redefine what kind of regular sexual norms are. And a lot of us that kind of grew up with the mentality of, okay, live and let live, we feel as if we've been taken advantage of. We understand that good intentions don't always lead to good public policy. And quite honestly, we never should have let our guard down. To be very transparent and honest, we're at a moment in time where, regardless of kind of the ideal of live and let live, that is not the country we're living in right now. Where the liberation movements of, whether it be the kind of gay liberation movement, that we're constantly oppressed and that we need more rights, and okay, it has gone from we want to break free of all the oppression to now having a tendency to almost become this very arrogant mob of revenge, that we now need to go into the schools, that we need to go enact some sort of retribution for the society and the civilization and the people that we feel have harmed us so significantly. So I grew up in a country where the number one debate was marriage equality. It was all about trying to allow people the same opportunity to have equal marriage. Now, I've never supported it, because I believe marriage should be between one man and one woman. Marriage, I believe, is a sacred institution. However, I'll be honest, I wasn't that fired up about it. I had a laissez-faire attitude at one chapter in my life towards it. I said, all right, whatever, because I was naive enough, and I think a lot of us are in the same boat. I was naive enough to believe this would end the debate, that this was going to be a moment for us to turn the page so we could talk about more pressing issues, like the national debt or border security or, you know, constitutional liberties and rights being deteriorated or the fourth branch of government. I was never for it, but I was naive enough to think, this will no longer be an issue. This will table the issue. This will make all of a sudden all the activists happy and satisfied. We'll be able to turn the page and we'll never have to talk about the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer, asexual. I think I did it. Yeah? We'll never have to talk about that again. Because it just felt so unnecessarily intimate and personal, right? It felt so kind of overly, it's almost an overfixation on these issues. And now we're living through a moment where we realize that, and I'll be the first one to admit, I made a terrible mistake in 2015, 16, and 17, believing for a second that these activists would take the win. That somehow this massive infrastructure of hundreds of millions of dollars supporting gay activism was somehow just going to kind of become defunct because they got marriage equality. In fact, the numbers show that after marriage equality, which overturned state-based rules on this, that the marriage rates barely went up at all in the gay and lesbian communities. We went from marriage equality between adults to now entertaining the idea of chemical castration in children via the trans debate in less than a decade. That happened very quickly. We went from a movement that was clear that a man is a man and men are attracted to men to there's no such thing as men and there's no such thing as women. And I believe a lot of you are in the same boat that I'm in, is that you're getting a little uneasy and a little bit anxious, not anxious, but you're a little irritated. You're a little upset because you said, look, I was cool with all of this. Not necessarily supportive, but you were neutral, you were laissez-faire, and now you look at it, you say, you didn't stop. Now we're talking about these issues more than ever. You're trying to overemphasize them while our major national pressing issues get ignored. And now you go into our schools, our military, and our State Department. Like, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not on board for it, okay? I'm not going to act as if this is normal and good for our civilization, because it's not. If you go down to the core of the term liberal, part of what to liberalize a society would be is to free the society or to liberate the society. Those of us that are conservatives, in the root of the word conservative is to protect or to conserve things that we know that are good or that are true or that are beautiful so they last and they are sustained. Now, some parts of liberalism, such as freedom of speech or some of the fruits of the Enlightenment, scientific inquiry, separation of powers, consent to the governed, are things that we enjoy to this day. I mean, there are elements of the United States Constitution that are small L liberal. However, the Constitution itself is not a liberal document. In fact, this is a false teaching that is done in many law schools and in many legal departments and in many universities where they look at the United States Constitution as merely a liberal document, when in reality, it's probably 10 to 15% a liberal document, small L liberal document, but it's a vast majority conservative document. In fact, it's the most conservative governmental instrument in the history of the world. And I'll give you one piece of evidence to support that. It's very hard to radically change things with the United States Constitution. If the United States Constitution was simply and solely a liberal instrument, well, then by a simple democratic vote, up or down vote, you would be able to take people's guns away, to be able to shut them up. You should be able to take their property away. The founding fathers made it difficult to be able to do bold revolutionary things, to be able to go on bold revolutionary endeavors. So these ideas of an independent judiciary spreading power over space and time made the Constitution a conservative document. And now when I use conservative liberal, I'm using lowercase. I don't mean it politically. I mean it more philosophically. And so throughout the last 40 or 50 years, this is best summarized, by the way, by a brilliant author who I'd love to have on the program at some point by the name of Christopher Caldwell. He wrote a book called Age of Entitlement. And you've heard me talk about this book many times on air, where he talks about really in the 1960s to today, the kind of good intention lobby, that would be us. I used to be part of the good intention world or the lobby or the community. We were largely taken advantage of by people that preyed on our good intentions and were able to subvert our society, our laws, our customs, our institutions, our bureaucracies to be able to not liberalize or liberate America, but actually make it more authoritarian and in some ways less free. And so this tension between kind of the liberal wing of the philosophical political community and the conservative wing of the philosophical American political community was temporarily kind of managed in the 1970s and 80s on the surface by having kind of this détente, which is, okay, conservatives don't believe in these sort of practices, liberals do, but if we kind of live and let live and allow you to do what you want to do as long as it doesn't harm somebody else, well, then everything will be fine. And I used to say this nonsense on campuses because it sounds good in an idealistic utopian venture if you do not understand the malevolence or the insidious nature or the kind of commitment the other side has to actually violating this, which I used to go to college campuses and say the following line, well, you should be able to do whatever you want to do as long as it doesn't harm somebody else. That sounds really good. It appeals to a young student like, oh, yeah, the non-aggression principle. But it's also incredibly short-sighted when you realize the side that you're actually brokering that deal with is they have no interest in actually living in a free society where you can do whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do, as long as it doesn't harm somebody else. Instead, they want to be able to get the instruments of power to force you to do what they want to do so you stop doing what you want to do. And just recently, I think now conservatives are waking up and like, wow, we kind of had brokered this peace deal and it was all a lie. We had this detente that we weren't going to tell people how to live their lives, and it was kind of under this construct of live and let live, baby, and you do what you, and who am I to judge, and all of that. And all of that I still believe in a very idealistic setting. And then all of a sudden I'm seeing the news right now. We have a gay pride flag outside of the Holy See. Yeah, you heard that right. There's a gay pride flag now outside of the Holy See that our State Department has as an official government-sponsored activity in support of Pride Month. Have you looked at how much of Russia is inside your 401k or IRA? Did you know my friends at Pax Financial Group have zero investments in Russia through their biblical investment strategy? Those companies were screened out long ago because they didn't pass the treat people right test. One of the most important tenets of the Christian faith is to love your neighbor, and this includes to love your employees. Based on Pax's biblical responsible investment strategy, a company, domestic or international, is excluded from an investment from your portfolio if it violates our innate God-given fundamental rights. So Pax Financial is wonderful. They share our values. In fact, I know people that have switched to Pax Financial from our partnership, and they speak so favorably about it. Stop using the woke money managers. Pax Financial is rooted in biblical wisdom. So if you have $150,000 or more and would like to know more about biblical responsible investing at Pax Financial Group, text CHARLIE to number 74868. That's CHARLIE at number 74868. That's CHARLIE to number 74868. So you just take out your phone, text the number 74868, and type in CHARLIE to get to know about Pax Biblical Responsible Investing. Biblical Responsible Investing Strategy. Take out your phone, text CHARLIE to 74868. They're about to manage some money for me. I really think highly of Pax Financial. Text CHARLIE to number 74868. Boy, we were exploited and we were taken advantage of at multiple levels. I mean, you just look at the issue of China as well. As soon as we allowed China into the World Trade Organization, they took advantage of us. You look at kind of 30,000 feet here, it's on multiple levels the good intentions of the West that we were taken advantage of. And it was motivated by people that I think wanted to do good. I think immigration is another example of this. I think mass immigration that was passed in the 1990s, the intentions were good. We think everybody can become Americans. We think everybody can assimilate. And assimilation is an act of patriotic affection. We believe in that. But we were suckers. On every single one of these kind of neo-liberal issues and policies, the intention was nowhere correlated with the output. And yet we keep on judging policies based on the original intention. A sign of a mature and prudent and strong society is one that can differentiate between the original intent of the nation or the population and actually how that policy has impacted people. And so I'm the first one to say that back in the early 2012, 13, 14, and 15, I had intentions that I believed on immigration, on, as we mentioned, the LGBT issue, on international trade, and even some foreign policy stuff, that all of this will align beautifully with kind of these neoliberal promises. But as I've grown older, I realized that my intentions aside, and intentions shouldn't be completely sidelined. I think intentions are good. I think intentions can anchor you towards kind of a moral centeredness to make sure you're not making public policy just from kind of a craven, backwards, dark place. I think good intentions need to be articulated and need to be factored in. But by no means are they the driving force, or should they be, especially after the multiple decades of carnage we have around us, of where those good intentions lead us. The good intentions of, yeah, we're going to shut down all of our factories and we're going to send all those jobs to China and we're going to get plastic in return. And at almost no point did anyone say, like, hold on, time out. This actually isn't really working as well as you said it was. Like, we were all on board for it kind of when you mapped it out on the whiteboard. It sounded really good when McKinsey came into Greencastle, Indiana, and they said they were going to shut down all the factories. Like, oh, yeah, you know, we need to try to increase our opportunity cost. And it's kind of the overemphasis on economics professor, to be perfectly honest, and no factoring of social cost or national security implications or whether or not we have a muscular class or whether or not we're able to have the ability to make critical goods and services if you have a pandemic or a shutdown. None of those things were factored in because we just keep on going back to this incantation, which is, well, if it sounds good, then let's do it. And the lack of adjustment, I think, from our nation's rulers and our elites is one of the reasons why I think we're all kind of sitting on this soon-to-erupt volcano pressure cooker, which is you're just asking for your leaders to do what many of us are kind of doing, which is adjust, adapt, change course, say, oh, wow, there's a big storm coming up here. This is your pilot speaking. We're going to have to go north 50 miles to make sure we don't keep on going through it because the turbulence really is rather irrational. No, instead, it's this is your pilot speaking. There actually is no turbulence. You're an idiot, and you're not feeling that. And it creates a massive amount of dissension amongst the body politic where they see the negative implications of them saying, well, if it sounds good, let's do it. Like, actually, no, it's not doing good. Like, actually, no, the LGBT thing has gone far too far. It's gone way too far. Where you're now in schools, where you're having drag queen story hours regularly for children. And yet the good intentions that many of us feel, we're now kind of understandably de-emphasizing it. And the kind of lack of remorse or the lack of honest recognition from the people that designed this kind of liberal order is extraordinary. And look, I mean, in some ways, many of us are kind of philosophical moderates, and we've only become more conservative in recent years because there's almost nothing anchoring or slowing down the kind of persistent and sudden kind of revolutionary fervor where we kind of see the tension between the preservation of what is good, true, and beautiful, and then also at times, are there some fruits of the Enlightenment? Is there breakthroughs in science? Are there things that we should consider? We don't want to just be closed-minded for closed-minded sake. It's going to take a very good argument for us to want to change something, but there's been plenty of things over the last couple of decades that have been positive innovations and positive breakthroughs. And so that's kind of that balance and that tension where we say, wow, the kind of proliferation of freedom of speech over the last couple hundred years as a new development for civilization, that's a beautiful thing. That we like that people are allowed to speak and allowed to be able to have their ideas heard. That's a good thing. However, many of us are now, and I've become incredibly conservative, largely because of the kind of out-of-control nature of where the ship is going. It's without a captain. It's progress for progress' sake. We're going to just keep on liberating groups, and we're going to then keep on empowering people that then turn to these revenge mobs like, whoa, 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 like, time out. What exactly are you progressing towards? Do you not care about the negative externalities or the consequences? Do you not care about children that are being taught these things? Play Cut 38. This is just a small clip from Discovery Plus. It is a new documentary called Generation Drag. Play Cut 38.
Oh my God, these are so cute.
These are problems I never thought I had to prepare for.
What I love about drag is the glitz and the glam.
When night comes round, My name is Noah, and I'm transgender.
Do you think a mom would ever want to watch me do drag?
How do I explain this to my child that she doesn't fully accept Novella?
Making friends has been a hard thing for me to do. When I'm becoming Nemo, become more confident.
Let me make sure you are appropriately fluffed.
And that is just a short clip from now the new documentary called Generation Drag. But it doesn't stop there. As I mentioned, the Holy See, which is a diplomatic mission, which is the diplomatic mission of the United States to the Holy See, a term referring to the central government and universal reach of the Roman Catholic Church, has a massive gay flag right now outside of the Holy See in Rome. The United States has said, quote, "Today is the start of Pride Month, the United States and the Holy See. The United States represents and respects and promotes the equality and human dignity of all people, including the LGBTQIA+ community." It doesn't stop there. The United States Marines, that's right, the few, the proud, the Marines. We have two Marines that work for us and do a great job at Turning Point USA. They tweeted out today, quote, "Throughout June, the United States Marine Corps takes hashtag pride in recognizing and honoring the contributions of our LGBTQ service members. We remain committed to fostering an environment of free from discrimination and defend the values of treating all equally with dignity and respect." And they have a picture of the Marine helmet with bullets kind of around the helmet, if you will. I'm not describing it well, but basically, how do I best describe this? There's a band around the helmet and there are bullets, and all the bullets have the gay pride colors. The bullets are all kind of different colors, so it's the rainbow bullets, if you will. Do the rainbow bullets kill people better than the regular bullets? Is the mission of the United States military to be kind of a social experiment, or is it to defend America against our enemies and kill our enemies quickly? Which one is it? But these activists won't stop. We know that. So we kind of have to have this moment where we kind of take a collective and we breathe like, wow, okay, we were taken advantage of. We were naive. We believed in this kind of false construct of laissez-faire political philosophy. And now we have to do something about it. And that's the second phase, right? Where now it says, okay, enough. Like, we're not going to keep on just playing along with these kind of liberation movements just for the sake of doing the liberation movements. Like, liberalism for the sake of liberalism will get you a complete and totally deteriorated society. You must have some things that don't change or people are just going to go mad. You must have an anchor. You must be tied to something that is always true. We call that wisdom. Wisdom is the knowledge of things that are always true. Instead, this kind of cycle and commitment to mass liberalization is making America less safe, less happy, and more in a state of chaos. And I believe it factors into why we have the most suicidal, alcohol-addicted, drug-addicted generation in history. I think this all factors in. If you remove and abolish and obliterate with force and with incredible hubris everything that came before you, and tell young people there's nothing worthy of study or appreciation there, what are you going to fill that void with? Hey, everybody. This Common Sense is brought to you by the folks at SecondVote.com, amazing people who are fighting back against woke corporations. Subscribe now at SecondVote.com, promo code Charlie.
Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Dave Black. We've had uniquely American common sense since 1776, but now we're in the era of common nonsense.
Today's nonsense comes from our inflator-in-chief, Joe Biden. As higher prices grip the country, Washington elitists want to blame everything except their own actions, from COVID to supply chains to Putin. But that's all nonsense. The truth is that we have inflation because of the left's socialist agenda. Free money in the form of benefits means too many dollars chasing too few goods. The left's war on oil and gas makes energy scarce, and their fuel mandates hike the cost of diesel, which means everything you buy at the grocery store is more expensive. Companies go along with this because of socialist ESG investing. This is when liberal fund managers like Fidelity and BlackRock use your hard-earned retirement dollars to pressure American companies into supporting liberal policies. And these companies aren't just bad actors when it comes to your investment dollars. They also take the money you spend and give it to liberal causes, just like Starbucks. They give their customers money to organizations like Black Lives Matter and Planned Parenthood. They ban guns from their stores. And when Trump was president, they pledged to hire 10,000 illegal aliens. At Second Vote, we do the research to expose big corporation politics by scoring hundreds of companies on traditional American values. And we want you to use Second Vote research to make better choices with your money. So please make sure you arm yourselves every day with the knowledge you need to shop smart and stop funding the left. All of the research you need is available at secondvote.com.
I'm Dr. Dave Black, reminding you that your first vote is at the ballot box, but your second vote is with your wallet.
Make sure you go to secondvote.com and subscribe now using promo code Charlie for just $40 for a whole year. That's secondvote.com, promo code Charlie. So we're in a kind of a set of circumstances here where the question is, well, then what do we do next? Well, I think part of the reason why the activist groups have been so successful, and one of the reasons why they have been so incredibly effective, is many of us want to try and appease. We don't want to be inherently disagreeable. I have a belief that as you go up the kind of competency hierarchy, if you go up the kind of elite hierarchy, if you will, people that are at the high levels of political decision-making and corporate decision-making, is when it comes to these kind of controversial issues, is they try to broker some sort of a peace deal. This is something I find especially in high net worth communities, and it's understandable because you're not able to build a business or run a business by just being kind of dogmatically in one position. So it's completely and totally understandable. You're trying to broker a merger and acquisition. You're trying to solve an employee dispute. And so a lot of people at the highest levels of the income distribution in America, they look at this, they say, oh, come on, there's got to be kind of a middle ground. And for a long time, there was a middle ground. There was a middle ground between kind of, well, you know, the kind of radical LGBT stuff and believing in traditional marriage. And what is a difficult thing for some people to recognize and realize, and albeit it's happening at a rapid pace, is that the other side really has no interest in brokering any sort of a peace deal. They want revenge. They want retribution. They're not driven by trying to kind of broker some sort of a mediation. It's evangelistic in nature. It is offensive, not offensive as offensive, but it's offensive as trying to take terrain. And look, a lot of the kind of middle ground or kind of return to normal kind of people, I think that even a lot of people in the gay community don't like a lot of this kind of trans evangelism. The problem is the, even if it's a minority, I don't know. I don't know if it's a minority of the gay community or not, but it's a very, very vocal part. And so we kind of look at all these issues, and the race issue is another one, by the way, because our intention is no one wants to be called a racist. Like, okay, whatever, what can I do to kind of accommodate you because you're so hyper-aggressive calling me a racist, like with a finger pointed in my chest. You are a racist. You are a racist. You are a racist. And you're kind of a, like, what can I do to satisfy you? What can I do to kind of just calm down the tensions here? And you realize that actually what you resist there actually ends up persisting, is that the more you appease them, the more it grows. We're out of time. Naive no more as we enter into this Pride Month. How about an American Pride Month? That'd be so great. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.